Well, hi there, now that you can hear me. I'd say happy almost Thanksgiving, because that's the smell you're smelling, is our Thanksgiving meal. And many of you brought food, and we thank you for that, especially those of us that are sticking around to eat, which hopefully is everybody, because I'm sure, Miss Trish, there's probably a ton of food back there, right? So that means, even if you didn't bring anything, please plan to stay, or if you're like Yenna and have to get out really quickly, sneak back there and grab something for the road anyway, because there's going to be plenty and plenty and plenty of food for you. And so this morning we're continuing. We're in John chapter 8 this morning. And so if you will, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. We're going to be looking at the first 11 verses this morning in a message entitled More Than Rules. Now, I know that for some, rules mean everything. For some, rules mean nothing. If you play sports, rules mean everything, don't they? It's kind of hard to play a game when you don't know the rules of the game. If you don't believe me, play a game with my son. He likes to change the rules as things go along, or he conveniently forgets to tell me all the rules until it applies to him, and then he shares with those the rules, right? Eddie and I and a few others play this game called Munchkin, and the rules change all the time because every time you pull a card out, the rule changes. And Isaiah plays this other game that my wife loves, I can't stand, because you don't know the rules and you're not told the rules. You have to figure them out as you play. And so only if you've played the game do you know what the rules actually are. Craziest game I've ever seen in my life. But we like rules for the most part. But there are times when rules can get us in trouble as well. You see, when I was young, I remember a time when I was working with a youth group. I was hardly much older than the youth themselves. But and Amy and I were both on this youth committee at our church with two other couples. And we had several students who they were just beginning to come to church. They had no other positive influence in their lives. Their parents were not believers. They joined our group because of the basketball program that we had going on at the time. And so they wanted to be able to be a part of that. And part of the rule of being a part of that was you had to come to church at least a few times a month and be a part of the group. So each week they would show up in order that they could stay on the basketball team. But they were beginning to hear the truth. And that's what was most important. They were beginning to hear the truth of God's word. And one day at their school, one of the ladies that was on our youth council, she took it upon herself to berate these two boys about the clothes that they wore. You know, they would usually be wearing AC/DC shirts or Beavis and Butthead shirts. Never thought you'd hear your pastor say those two words in a message, did you? But that was the clothing they wore. That was the kids of that day. I mean, that's what they were listening to. That's what they were watching. They were just being typical teenagers. And she told them that they should never wear that kind of stuff at all, especially not to church. And you know what happened? They never wore those shirts to church again because they never came back. They never came back. As far as I know, they have still never darkened the door of a church since. And this has been 20 years. Gandhi said it this way. He said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." I'm reminded of John chapter 8. There we read about Jesus teaching in the courtyard one morning. And as he's teaching, his teaching is then interrupted by this angry mob that just bursts into the scene. But the mob is made up of religious leaders of the day. And being pushed along on the crest of this mob was this woman. We're not given a lot of details about her. She may have even been dressed in nothing but a bedsheet at this point as she was shoved onto the dirt in front of Jesus. And one of the religious leaders, he gives the accusation to Jesus, and he says this in verses 4 and 5. He said, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say?" Well, this was a very pushy move by the religious leaders. Remember, they're trying to entrap him anyway. They used the rules to try to trap Jesus. Rules can do that to us at times. They can trap us. They can turn us into angry mobs of sorts. We might not form together a parade and parade a center around town, but we'll huddle in whispering circles and drop someone's name to everyone who will talk to us. It's called gossip. And unfortunately, we're really good at it. We'll be judgmental. We'll try to shove rules down other people's throats, and all the while breaking the cardinal rule of loving your neighbor. Church, you need to understand, God's Word provides both guidance and commandments. It does that. It gives us rules. And those commandments, those laws, they are actually there to protect us. And if we're honest, none of us can follow those laws perfectly. None of us. That's their very design. You see, the law was given to expose our sin, not to save us from our sin. It was never meant to save us. The truth is, every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Some of us in very public settings, some of us in more private ones. But when we overemphasize following the rules, we can get people thinking that we've got it all figured out, can't we? If we can overemphasize that following of the rules, it's a way to measure how good I am. It's a way to point at my goodness. You know, we can get people thinking that they shouldn't share their struggles with us because we're perfect. That's dangerous. And that's exactly what I want to address this morning. Church, I want you to hear me here. I'm not perfect. Oh, wow. I figured he was going to amen me. I had to point right at him for that. But the reality is, you're not perfect either. None of us in this room are perfect. And the grim reality, though, is sometimes certain Christians can be a lot more like the Pharisees and a lot more like the religious leaders of the day than of our Messiah. And they end up using rules to rationalize how they treat others in church, especially newcomers or those whose sins are more difficult to hide. Now, I think this happens oftentimes unintentionally. I don't think people try to set out and do this. I think there are some that do. But I think most of the time it's unintentional. Christians like these mean very well. They're trying, just like this woman who said, don't wear that to church. She meant well because she didn't want them to be offensive to somebody else. But sometimes that meaning well will cause more harm than good. They'll say things like, well, we're keeping the standard high. We want to make sure that there's a certain level of excellence. And so they make it harder for people to come to God. They say things like, if you want to come to God, then you've got to follow all these rules that we've established just to make sure that the only people who are really religious get in. You know, in the end, these well-meaning believers, they end up creating a list of rules that wear out and frustrate new believers to the point where they don't even want to be a part anymore. But here's what you need to understand. The Christian life is more than rules. The Christian life is more than rules in and of themselves. You see, because rules in and of themselves are not what's most important. So this morning, I want to spend some time looking at the different aspects of rules, so we can understand the truth here, why being a Christian goes well beyond the rules. So the first aspect that I want you to see when it comes to rules is this. Rules can be cumbersome. Don't believe me? Switch to Judaism. Convert to Judaism. Go to those 613 commandments that they have to follow day in and day out. Not be able to push a button on an elevator during the Sabbath. And just have to ride it from floor to floor to floor. Around here, we'd have a hard time with that. Because we'd either have to take the stairs or hope somebody else was with us to hit the button. You know, I knew several people growing up that went to a Christian school. And this school had a lot of rules. You know, I want you to understand me, though, that they had every right to have these rules. I think it's great for schools and for homes and for families to make rules. I think that it's necessary. I don't have a problem with those rules, but there were a lot of rules at this school. You know, rules like you couldn't have your hair below your collar if you were a boy. You had to have short hair. Girls' skirts couldn't be more than a couple of inches above the knees. And they would literally stand there at the door with a ruler and they would measure every day as you walked in the door whether or not you fit. And if you didn't, you had to go home and change and come back. There were just all kinds of rules, and they were closely monitored and followed. Boys had to wear the collared shirts, and girls had certain rules about makeup and jewelry. Again, it's fine for schools and for families to have those rules. But here's what happened for a lot of the kids that went to that school. They associated those rules not with going to school. They associated those rules with being a Christian. So somehow many of them got the message that these are the rules you have to follow if you are really a Christian. And when they graduated from high school, you can only imagine what happened. Most of them walked away because they were tired. They were tired of the rules. They were exhausted from trying to keep all of these rules at school and at home. And again, rules are fine. The problem is that somehow they've gotten the idea that following these rules made them a Christian. That somehow they earned their salvation through following these rules. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. As we look back, even here in John 8 on this woman, we find her looking down and humiliated and guilty and ashamed. She's been caught breaking the rules. And this may be that day that breaking the rules costs her everything. And so Jesus kneels down and he begins to write something in the dirt. And we have no idea what he's writing. Nobody tells us. Some biblical commentators speculate that maybe he was writing out the sins of her accusers. Meanwhile, the religious leaders they wait for an answer from Jesus. They know they caught him by surprise. They know they've caught him in something that's going to be very difficult to get out of. And they're ready to hear him submit to their letter of the law. They're waiting for him to shrug his shoulders and say, well, those are the rules, so we have to follow. But Jesus doesn't do that. He looks up at these spiritual leaders and he says this. He says, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Yeah, those are the rules. But whoever of you can say you're above her, you start. One by one, these bullies drop their stones. And they begin to walk away. And only Jesus is left alone with this woman. And perhaps with a little bit of a smile, he looks up to her and he says this in verse 10. Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Now, if you were the one that was caught, you might be thinking something else in your mind right about now. You could have been thinking, well, there's still one. There's still one who could condemn me. And Jesus, I think, knew her heart. And he looks at her and he says with tenderness, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Jesus knows the rules. He wrote them. He knows that rules also can be cumbersome. But he also understands the heart behind those rules. That brings us to the next aspect I want you to see about rules, and that's this. That rules don't inspire grace. Rules don't inspire grace. You see, grace and the law are on opposing sides. The law was never meant to save us. They were only meant to condemn us. They were to expose our sin. Only grace can save us, and we need grace. Amen? I was never fortunate enough to have a teacher do this. But I know of several who have. The teacher wanted to teach a lesson on grace. And so they handed out a test to all of the students, knowing that it would be a difficult test. Now, the students had been preparing for this test for a couple months. And And when the test was handed out, the teacher of the class told them, he said, now, be sure that you read through the entire test before you take it. And as the students begin to read through that test, they realize they were in trouble. Maybe it was similar to one of Gordon's tests. I don't know. They knew right away that they should have studied more. And they read and they kept turning the page and reading more and they kept turning the page. And they get to the end and have this multiple page test. And they found these words. You can try to get an A by taking this test. Or you can just put your name on it and automatically receive an A. Most of the class immediately did just that. They put their name on the test and they walked it up to the desk and they walked out of the room. Except for one boy who just started taking the test. He didn't read through it. He didn't listen to the instructions. And so he was, even after everybody was gone after a few minutes, here he was still diligent. And he's sitting there trying to take this test. And it's sad because this was probably the only A he was ever going to get. But there was also another girl in the class who read all the way through it and got to the end and actually got upset because she had spent so much time studying. And she rationalized, well, what kind of teacher gives an A for nothing? And so she took his test out of principle. If she was going to get an A, she was going to earn it. Church, that's how a fan reacts. That's how a fan of Jesus reacts to His grace. A fan says, I'm not taking any handouts. I can do this all on my own. A fan cannot understand the gift of grace. And they spend so much time of their lives carrying around the burden of rules and religion. But the grace of Jesus, the same grace that saved this woman from being stoned, calls to those who have been hauling around all this long list of rules and rituals and obligations all of our lives. And Jesus calls to those who are tired of pretending to be more than they are. He calls to those who have had the guilt and the fear of religion to wear them down. And He says this. He says, come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe you grew up in a home where you were taught all about Jesus. You went to church on the weekend. Maybe you even went to church camp over the summers. And you learned to fear Jesus. So you kept as many of the rules as you could, hoping you wouldn't go to hell. And when you would sin, you would feel the guilt and you would wonder if you would ever be enough. And you were taught to observe so many different religious traditions and rule keeping, but somehow you never really fell in love with Jesus. You became a fan. Because when you came into a situation in which rules took precedence over love and over grace, it became hard to fall in love. Think about it this way. When I got married, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. When I married my wife, I knew there were certain rules that I said I would live by. Some of them were written, some of them were unwritten. Look at the look she's given me already. But I understood when I said I do, that I would be faithful to her. That's number one rule. As long as we both shall live, I'm going to be hers alone. Number two, I was going to provide for her. I'm going to meet her needs. Number three, I was going to be committed to her for better or for worse. Now, there were and are other rules that I didn't know about that have been since established. I am to keep the dining room table free from clutter. I fail at this often. I am to empty the dishwasher when the dishes are clean and not pile the dirty dishes in the sink. I am not to wake her up if she's sleeping unless the house is on fire. I have learned these over time. Now, I don't always practice them. I don't always get them right. But I know them. Am I wrong? If I saw our relationship, though, as a bunch of rules that I had to keep, I wouldn't be very happy. But because I love my wife, I try to be a good husband, even though I don't always accomplish my goal. But when all of this is said and all of this is done, I would do anything for her. And so doing the dishes and putting the lid down on the toilet or other extravagant acts of sacrifice on my part, right, guys? They actually bring me satisfaction, at least most of the time. In the end, the grace and the love of God, it ends up freeing us and inspires us to live for Him. We want to follow those rules. We want to be a part of this life, to follow Him in whatever He would have us to do, because we have fallen in love with Him. Augustine said it this way. He said, "Who can be good if not made so by loving? So love God and do as you please." Now, that doesn't say go do whatever you want. It says do as you please, because if you love God, you're going to follow God. You know, he could say that because he knew that when you love God, you will want to please Him. But your priority, your emphasis, your focus has to be first, not on the rules, but on loving God. It has to be about a relationship with Jesus. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You can't put the cart before the horse. It doesn't work that way. Now, let's take a look at what the author of Not a Fan, Kyle Eidelman, has to say about the rules in this next video.
It's not unusual for me to talk to Christian parents who are upset, concerned, because maybe a college-age child or an adult child is no longer following Jesus. And the parents usually want to know what happened. They want to know what went wrong. That's a hard question to answer. There's a lot of different possibilities, but I do my best just to listen to the story, to encourage them and to pray for their child. But not long ago, I was speaking in Houston, Texas, and after I was done speaking, this big man with this big belt buckle came up to me, but he had tears in his eyes. And he began to tell me the story of his prodigal daughter, who had left home and had walked away from her faith, was no longer following Jesus. But he didn't ask me what happened. He didn't seem to be looking for an explanation. In fact, with one sentence, he told me what he thought went wrong. He said, "We raised her in church, but we didn't raise her in Christ." Do you ever go to the doctor and get an inoculation? They give you a little bit of a virus to try and make you immune to the real thing. I think that's what's happened to a lot of fans. They got a little bit of Jesus. Maybe at home, maybe at school, church, a little bit of Jesus and a whole lot of rules. Maybe a little bit of Jesus and a whole lot of tradition. But one of the most deadly things that can happen to your faith is to have just a little bit of Jesus. We raised her in church, but we didn't raise her in Christ.
Like me, I think many of you were raised in church. But were you raised in Christ? Did you raise your children in church, or did you raise them in Christ? Church, we don't need the rules. We need Jesus. We need grace. That's what saves us. He is what is real. Rules don't inspire grace. But there's also something else that you need to understand about rules. Rules don't keep us around. Rules don't keep us around. I want to say this very carefully and very clearly. When a person grows up and they define Christianity as keeping a moral code, keeping the rules, instead of defining Christianity as being a follower of Jesus Christ, then they will walk away from both. We might be tempted to think, well, you know, I've got to make sure that they understand these rules and these moral obligations of being a Christian. And while that's true, I'm telling you, if they define Christianity that way, instead of defining Christianity as being a follower of Jesus, they will walk away from both. They will walk away from both Jesus and the moral code. Church, we have to define Christianity first and foremost as the following of Jesus Christ. We cannot expect to recruit the world to a set of standards that we ourselves would never live by or follow if it wasn't for a love relationship with Jesus. They're not going to get on board with that unless it's because they know Him. And we have to be the ones to introduce our Christ to them. So it must first and foremost be about following Christ. It must first and foremost be about learning who Jesus is and what He has done for them. They can't be expected to not wear their AC/DC shirts and their Beavis and Butthead shirts if they don't know who Jesus is and why He died. It doesn't work that way. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't want you to go out and invite people to University Baptist Church. I don't. I want you to go out and invite them to our Jesus. It's not about our church. It's about our kingdom. And it's about more than that. It's about our King. If a person understands their need for a Savior, and they find themselves in the caring hands of Jesus, and they develop a relationship with Him, they will find the grace that they have been searching for their entire lives. Rules are for followers, folks. Yes, we are to hold each other accountable to those rules. As iron sharpens iron, one man will sharpen another. But those who are not followers, they need to first meet a Savior. And they have to become a follower. Our rules will drive others away if they do not first have a relationship with Jesus. We're not to judge the world. Paul, in my words of his text, says, how can we be angry at babies for being babies? They don't know any better. So don't go out and judge them for their sin. They don't know any better. What they need to know is not your rules. They need to know your Christ. They need to know Jesus. A few years ago, I spoke to a woman in the community who told me that she quit going to church because a couple had come to her and told her that due to her lifestyle, that she wasn't allowed to be a part of their church. Their church. After a long conversation about this, I assured her that the church doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Jesus. And He said that all are welcome, regardless of your past, regardless of your present, regardless of your sin. All are welcome into His open arms. But I want you to know something. People enter through our doors today, and they're sometimes nervous. Some feel guilty about their past. Some have been run out of their church by fans who were more focused on the rules than on others. Some are scared because they don't know what's expected of them. Some are apprehensive because they were brought up in church, but they were not brought up in Christ. If that fits you today, you need to know something. You need to know that we would love to have you. I don't know what your story is. I don't know if there's a Christian who bullied you, who misrepresented Jesus Christ, or wasn't at all Christ-like, but we would love to have you here. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying we're not going to make mistakes. But we would still invite you to join us as we follow Christ. Maybe you grew up in a church that taught you a lot of traditions. They taught you a lot of rules and regulations, but you never really got around to studying the gospel of Jesus or Scripture. I don't know if maybe you grew up in some kind of religious affiliation where nobody seemed to make a big deal out of grace, but they sure made you feel guilty about not following the rules every weekend. The truth is, we would love to have you and to come and experience the freedom that is found in knowing and following not the rules, but Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. We would celebrate that with you today. We would rejoice with you, as would heaven, if you came and said, I don't want to be a fan. I want to be a follower. You know, Christianity is more than just do's and don'ts. It's more than just following a moral code or following the laws. Christianity is about grace. It's about following Jesus because you have fallen in love with Jesus and with who He is and what He has done for you. So what's the verdict? What's the verdict? Do you find yourself today focused more on the rules? Have you abandoned grace? Or do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? The scary part is some people only have religion. They know the rules. They know what they're supposed to know. They can answer all the questions except one. Are you in a relationship, a loving relationship with Jesus? Would you do anything for that relationship, for that person, for that Savior, for that Lord? Do you understand that you can't earn His favor? Do you understand that you can't do enough to account for the blood that He gave? It's not about the rules. Though it's good to have them, it's more than rules. It's about grace. We've asked it a couple times, but we'll ask it again. Are you a fan or are you a follower? Father, we stand before You this morning. And Lord, I know that I was one that was raised in church but not in Christ. I was brought to Your throne numerous times and left there. And I thought that You were just the mean old guy in the sky that wanted to bust me for everything I did wrong. And Lord, I know there's others standing in this room that feel the same way, that have felt the same way. And I know there's others in this room that heard everything that was said today, and they're struggling even now to say, but I can't fathom how I can't earn this, how can I just accept the fact that Jesus died for me? How can I understand being good with all the crud in my life? How can I understand and rationalize all the things I've done wrong and the fact that He's just going to ignore it all and let me be? But Your word tells us, it doesn't matter who we once were. It's who we will become. I'm no longer a single man. I am a married man because of the wife that was provided to me. And my life changed that day. I became a different person. And just like that wedding, we are the bride of Christ. And we become a different person when we accept that relationship, because now we have something different to live for. And it's not just for ourselves. And Lord, You've asked us to follow You. You've asked us to trust You. And Lord, there's so many times that we think that keeping the rules is our way of trusting You. But Lord, the reality is that if I'm just keeping the rules so others think I'm better than I really am, and I'm hiding my heart of disgust, and I'm hiding all my sins, and I'm not letting anybody in, and I'm not letting You in, then I don't have a relationship. Lord, help me to expose my heart. Help me to give You my life, my love, my fears, my strength, all that I am and ever hope to be, I give to You. Lord, I pray there's someone here this morning that can make that commitment by Your strength and by Your grace. Lord, we thank You for today, and we thank You for Your word every day. But we most often thank You for Your Son and His sacrifice. And it is in His name we pray. Amen.